Hi, welcome back to another episode of You the Mother podcast by Abby Williams, a space dedicated to supporting, empowering, and connecting all parents in all seasons of parenthood. You can find more supportive content over on Instagram and TikTok at You the Mother, and be sure to check out youthemother.com, where you can reach out to work with me one-on-one or sign up for my group coaching. In today's episode, I am welcoming on Kristen Schwartz. Kristen is a writer and entrepreneur, attuned empathic healer, and certified trauma recovery coach. She holds a master's degree in counseling, and in 2016, fueled by passion and recognizing the need for empaths and highly sensitive people to realize their potential, Kristen became the founder of Realized Empath. Within this wellness community, empaths unite for support, inspiration, and healing. You can join this community at realizedempath.com. And in today's episode, we talk all about what it means to be an empath, how to navigate life as an empath, how to protect your energy, prioritize your needs, and set boundaries. You can find more on this topic over on Instagram and Facebook from Kristen at Realized Empath. And I hope that you enjoy today's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started in supporting you, the mother. Kristen, welcome to You the Mother podcast. I am so excited that you are here joining us today because I think a lot of us might fall into this empath bucket and might not know how to navigate life as an empath. So thank you for joining me. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh gosh, that's such a big question. So I'm a mom, a wife. I am the owner and CEO and founder of Realized Empath. What that means is I have my master's in counseling. Mm-hmm. I'm also certified in trauma recovery. I work with just empaths and highly sensitive people. Mm-hmm. I love to travel. I'm an author. I mean, I could go on forever, like we all could, because our once we live on this planet long enough, it's a really big
a long
question.
List. Yeah,
yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Kristen, why don't we kind of dive into what does it mean to be an empath? What does that word mean?
What does it mean? I think what I've found over the years is I don't like to limit us to just like a list of check, like 10 things we can check off.
Yeah.
To keep it simple, an empath is someone who feels very deeply. Yeah. They're a highly sensitive person. What makes them a little bit different is they can pick up on and sometimes absorb the energy of people around them, which means if someone is feeling or going through a certain emotional state, we can pick that up and actually feel those sensations in our body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like raising my hand.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. And I think like a lot of us that get into like the counseling department, you know, I think we got there not on accident.
No, we get really, really good at trying to manage other people's feelings and emotions because we learn that if we can make them feel okay, then maybe we can feel a little bit better too.
Yeah. And do you feel like is the majority of people who identify as empathic, deeply deep feelings, highly sensitive people, do you feel like the majority of them come from some of these trauma backgrounds or are some people just born this way?
I think both. And I say that because I feel like I was highly sensitive from birth, but my trauma absolutely heightened that in me. I think my journey has been about differentiating hypervigilance from my highly sensitive nature. And that's really why I went into the field and specifically work with empaths and highly sensitive people, because I've seen that over the years. That the majority of people that come to me for support are both, they recognize themselves as highly sensitive early on, but they're also trying to navigate trauma and how that affects them. And I do believe that being highly sensitive, we are more prone to being overwhelmed and traumatized by our experiences because we feel them so much more deeply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And and I love like that differentiation that you made there of between being highly sensitive and hypervigilance, right?
Yeah.
Can you kind of expand on that or maybe identify like what those words mean for people that don't know?
Absolutely. So hypervigilance is basically a symptom of trauma. When we go through trauma, especially chronic trauma, our brain changes. And some of the more common changes that can happen in our brain are an enlarged amygdala, which is the part of our brain that regulates our emotions. And basically, when we are overwhelmed, we've had these brain changes and we experience things or we're triggered, that part of the reasoning part of our brain shuts off. And that emotional center, which is the amygdala, is like enlarged. And so we feel and we can overreact. And I don't mean that in judgment. It really is our brain trying to keep us safe. It's on hyper alert all the time because it doesn't want us to have to go through the same thing that we did. What I have found over the years is because there's so much talk out there about being highly sensitive and an empath, especially on social media and on the internet, is I found that there's so many people that confuse hypervigilance for being highly sensitive. And when we confuse those, we basically are suffering, we're missing the part of us that needs healed and attention because we're thinking, well, I was just born that way. And you could have been born highly sensitive, but we're missing that trauma response part of us that really needs attention and healing.
Yeah. And that's why I love like your content so much is because I feel like you are so intentional on making those different, making those clear. So you're doing really important work on the internet and providing
Thank you so much.
So Kristen, how do we navigate life as an empath?
Well, that answer can be multifaceted in that whoever's asking that question, depending on where they're at in their life, is going to determine how I answer that question. So if you're coming to me as someone who's like, I think I'm an empath or I'm an empath, and here's how I'm experiencing the world, here's what it's like to be inside my body. And you're coming to me and you're like, I'm really overwhelmed by other people's emotions and feelings. I'm isolating. I get overwhelmed easily. I kind of make myself small or shrink to avoid feeling. So how I would say that person needs to navigate would be different than someone who's maybe been on this healing journey a little bit longer,
right.
Is a little bit more resilient when it comes to picking up energy and like bouncing back and really good at letting go or not taking it in. But I will say this in general, for a well-being or for an empath to really thrive, I believe there are two things need to be present, and that is reactive self-care and proactive self-care.
Yeah, I love this.
Yeah. So proactive is like, I call it a lifestyle, like I have a lifestyle of healing because I know that I pick up on energy and I pick up on so much more than most people do. So I don't go about my day just like willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Like I am very intentional with, okay, what's stirring in my mind today? How's my body feeling? What needs addressed? And I have certain practices every day that's proactive where I assist my body and mind in letting go, whether that be meditation or yoga or movement or lunch with a friend or I'm very, very, very strict with my sleeping schedule. There's just things that are non-negotiable so I can feel the best that I can feel because dependent on your proactive self-care, that is going to determine how overwhelmed you are when you walk out into the world. Mm-hmm. So I know this can, it's a choice really. And I know that can sound harsh. And I would have kind of bucked up against this myself like 7 years ago when I was
in the beginning
state of like, Yeah, in the beginning. But it is a choice to walk out into the world and just be completely overwhelmed and inundated every single day and just wish that life could be different. When life can be different, but you have to live differently.
Yeah.
And it has to be a lifelong commitment. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that I'm never going to be able to go back and live like I was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Unless I'm willing to just feel like complete garbage all the time and not even want to be on the planet anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you have reactive self-care, which is as good as I take care of myself during the week. There are still maybe instances where maybe I didn't eat as well, or I didn't sleep as well, and I still have to go to an event or a 4th of July or something where people are together. And there may be something heavy that happens that I'm going to pick up on in that moment.
Yeah.
And what are those tools that I can access to take care of myself in a moment of reaction where like, wow, I'm noticing this from this person, or this is heavy, or even when someone you love is going through something deep. Mm-hmm. And you have to be present. So that's more of like reactive self-care.
Yeah.
And then you have the trauma work, which is why I obviously talk about that a lot too, because that all plays into it.
Right. And so like on my platform, I talk a lot about like healing journeys and my estrangement with my mother. And so a lot of my community is women who are estranged from their mothers and navigating some of this healing journey work.
Sure.
And so I talk a lot in like my group coaching and in my one-on-one coaching kind of about this like proactive and reactive stress or self-care, you know, because like life is going to be stressful
right,
no matter what, always, right? Yeah. So what are you going to do beforehand? And then when there is that big stressor, what are you going to do on the back end to recover from that stress, right? And so I love that you brought that up. And I think that it is so important. And I love what you were saying about how it is a choice. And I definitely agreed with you where like, I would have definitely bucked up with that as well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This was not a choice. This was done to me. Like, I'm the victim here. And like you were, you know, like I'm not discrediting that. But now how are you going to survive and live in this world and move forward with your stuff, you know? And I think that that is a choice. That doesn't mean that it's easy in the beginning, right? Like getting to these places where, you know, you're like, how many years you said before 10 years ago or 7 years ago?
Yeah. Well, my dark night of the soul is probably 8 or 9 years ago where I met myself in the dark corner of a room and I was like,
I can't
spend the next half of my life doing this anymore. Right. It's either change or I'm done. I'm checking out. I'm over it. Yeah.
So. And I got to one of those too about almost 4 years ago. And, you know, I definitely, but so much agree, right? That now, okay, how am I going to change my life and how I'm showing up for myself so that I do stay here? So that I am a good mommy to my kids, so that I am a good partner, right?
Right, and exactly.
It is like, it's really important. And so I kind of want to go into boundaries and what that looks like for people who identify as empaths. Because I think that's kind of like what we're talking about here is some boundary work with ourselves.
With ourselves.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And I kind of forget about that sometimes. We think about boundaries like for everybody else, but I think it's mostly us.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's mostly us. Yeah. And I believe, this is just a personal opinion, that I don't think we can actually have healthy boundaries with other people until we have them with ourselves.
Yeah, same.
Because I feel like if we're operating from no energetic boundaries with ourselves, like not following through on ourselves, not honoring our limits, then we're just trying to control other people to meet the needs that we're not willing to meet for ourselves.
Yeah.
So it can get really messy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how do we start that? Especially if maybe we've got some people pleasing going on and we're picking up that this is pissing people off, that we're creating boundaries for us and really starting to do the work of I'm no longer abandoning myself to keep the peace with everybody else.
Yeah. So I think most importantly, I mean, we have to know what our limits are. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will, when they get to the point where they're looking for support and help, a lot of people don't even know where they end and the other person begins. They don't know where their limits are. They start to react and resent way past their limit.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like coming back to ourselves and realizing, at what point do you get uncomfortable?
Yeah.
At what point, when you're at that party, do you realize your energy is draining? Not an hour later when you're starting to feel angry and antsy, mm-hmm. and you're starting to physically react, but when can you notice the subtle nudges? Another thing to point out is that a lot of empaths and highly sensitive people, if they've been that way for a long time and not didn't know how to care for themselves, a lot of us detach from our body because that is where we feel everything so deeply. Mm-hmm. So our bodies can feel almost like this threat, this thing that's not mm-hmm. safe to embody and be totally present in. And so it can be tricky at first mm-hmm. to start to notice the subtle nudges, because it sometimes it can feel unsafe to be present and grounded in our bodies. So I would say working on starting to recognize what your actual limits are.
Yeah.
And also starting to get really clear and honest with yourself in terms of what need do you believe you're meeting by walking past your own limits or people pleasing? What do you believe you're gaining from it? Even when someone is maybe talking to you about their pain, mm-hmm. And they're going through something, and a lot of highly sensitive people are empaths who are unaware of their own limits, will overshare or give advice or try to fix, right? Mm-hmm. They become like the fixer. So it's like, what need is being met by being the fixer? Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to gain? And maybe the first response is, I'm not hoping to gain anything. I'm trying to help.
Yeah.
But you're helping because their pain feels, you feel something. You're uncomfortable. Yeah, you're uncomfortable. You want to fix, you want to help. Why? Right? So getting really clear on what your true intentions are, mm-hmm. because that's a little window into your limits, right? And what needs attention. So yeah, number one in terms of setting boundaries is getting clear on what your limits are, because if you don't know your limits, you don't know where the boundary needs to be with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really clear in terms of certain people that might come visit or stay in my house, or we go visit them. I'm very aware of how many days I can stay before it's, you know, and that's, I'm talking about, like, if I go and visit, I'm still doing all my daily, like, yeah. self-care. I'm still getting out. I don't, you know, there's non-negotiables with me. And I still feel the energy drain around day three. Mm-hmm. So I know specifically for me, my limit is day three. If I go beyond that, I'm signing up for suffering.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So then if I'm hesitant on saying, okay, I'll visit for 3 days, but no more than that, why? What am I worried about? I'm worried about they'll judge me, or they'll think I don't love them, or mm-hmm. all these things. Right. So then I am prioritizing their wants over my needs, mm-hmm. or their feelings over my well-being. Why do I do that? So it's like, it's this journey of self-discovery, really.
Yeah.
Of, what's holding you back from setting the boundaries that really are going to give you the life that you want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like for so many of us, maybe this is, you know, once you kind of come to this work mm-hmm. and you start on this healing journey, or you start unpacking some of these things, you start really discovering who you are. I think for a lot of us, this is the first time in our entire life that we've looked at ourselves like this, right? And mm-hmm. starting to prioritize our own needs. And so that feels scary, right? Or like, I'm abandoning everybody yeah. else by prioritizing me mm-hmm. because this is the first yeah. time I've ever done this in my life. Is there some kind of advice, or I don't know, path that we can make this a little less easy, or a little more easy?
That's
or
hard. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I hear
how
you.
How do we prioritize our needs and it feel not bad?
Not scary. Yeah. Well, I wish I could just say, do this and it's not going to feel scary.
Yeah. And I think maybe just normalizing.
Yeah. Yeah. The truth is, I think just being being as compassionate and gentle with yourself as possible, because the reality is all these behaviors that keep us detached from who we are really born to be, and detached from who we can step into, like what the light that we can step into, those behaviors are there because our brain believes that they're keeping us safe.
Yeah. So, and they probably did at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's more of like, you know what? Almost like thanking your brain. Thank you, body and brain. I understand what you're doing. And I appreciate it. And in the past you did keep me safe. And moving forward with compassion, because it's going to get messy. You're going to stumble. You're going to feel so scared.
Yeah.
You're going to, at times you're going to feel like you're going to be fully rejected. Nobody's going to love you and you're going to be alone. Mm-hmm. And just understand that all those fears are there for a reason, because your brain believes that if you step outside these behaviors, that even though they're harming you and hurting you, if you step away from them, you are not going to survive. That is what the chemistry, that's what your brain is wanting you to believe.
Yeah.
So of course you're going to have resistance. Of course it's going to feel really freaking scary.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're up against. You're truly up against the most powerful aspect of the human, like, makeup, like survival. That's everything. So it's just having those really gentle conversations with yourself. I am safe. Mm-hmm. I am safe. I know this is scary. And I guess I would say too, is if you can test it out and kind of test the waters out in your new bravery with maybe people that are a little bit more safe.
Mm-hmm.
People that, if you can, have open conversations and say, okay, so I realized I have these behaviors that are really keeping me kind of closed down and small, and it's going to be really scary, but I'm going to try something new here. And like, if you have any people in your life that can make it a little bit softer for you, then maybe try there. But I know a lot of us may not have that.
Yeah.
If we've been operating a certain way without boundaries for a very long time, then the people in our lives have benefited from that.
Yeah.
So you're going to have pushback 90% of the time. And that's just,
it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It does not mean you're wrong for doing it. Yeah.
No, not at all. You're just, you're changing a pattern.
Yeah.
And there are going to be other people that are invested in that pattern. Right. And we can't control whether they want to change or see the benefit or whatever.
Yeah.
Keep going. So keep going. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And get support if you have to, because it'll, you know, it can bring up all kinds of past pain and trauma if you have like attachment trauma or relational trauma, like, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love all the language that you have used in this episode, you know, of you're up against the most powerful part of the human makeup, you're brave, you know, because I think that so much of healing journeys and some of this work on rediscovering who we are, coming home to ourselves, it doesn't feel like that in the beginning. You know, I like look back at the beginning of my journey and it felt like the weakest time of my life. You know, I felt just completely pummeled, down. It looked like depression. And then a lot of the people that I now do coaching and group work with, you know, I feel like when they first begin in some of those settings, I look at them kind of the same, where they feel and are operating kind of in that same light. And that perspective shift is just so powerful, because even though you are feeling just like the bottom has dropped out, you know, it is really, really hard. Like, what, that road is so hard. And I say like, it's like walking through fire.
And it's why most people avoid it and don't do it.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, I think it's the closest any of us get to being like true warriors, because it is so dark and you are literally fighting for your life against what is meant to be and is the strongest aspect of the human, which is survival.
Right.
And the ego or unconscious mind believes any change, even though it's fantastic, amazing, you know, change is a threat. So when you're making, when you're like, hey, my life's not working, I need to change a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. Good for you.
You're going to need to suit up.
You do have to suit up, you know, but like how much better our whole world would be if there were more people that could be called in to do the work.
Yep.
You know?
I know.
And like, you deserve it. You deserve that quality of life, and the people around you will benefit. They might change. You might have some changes in who's around you. You know, my husband kind of jokes with me now, like, you are definitely a lot more choosy on who you spend your energy with now. I'm like, you know, I want to be surrounded by a certain kind of people now.
Yeah.
And I think that's good.
Yeah, you have to be. Yep. I mean, I've said for years, and I remember saying this in that dark period of my life, like, so awareness of, the majority of the humans walking around on this planet are just playing trauma tennis. Like, we're just like reacting to each other. And like, I react to your trauma and then I lob it back like a ball and then you lob it back to me. And like, there's no true connection on a soul to soul level. It's this trauma facade that we're all responding and reacting to. So imagine the world we would live in if we were all doing the work and breaking down our own barriers.
Yeah.
It would be,
you definitely see
heaven
that
on earth.
Yeah. You definitely see that trauma tennis on the internet.
Oh my God. Just
that is like my word. Yeah. I'm taking that word with me from now on.
Trauma tennis. I'm telling you what, you know, I am blessed. I will say this. I don't get a lot of it in my comments,
but I don't really,
because
either.
I've weeded out like the first 3 or 4 years of my business, I did a lot of like deleting, blocking. Yeah. I just don't do it.
Same.
But every once in a while I'll get, and I'm just like, oof, not touching that one.
Yeah. I just had a reel like this past week that went, that performed pretty well, but it was about estrangement. And so there's kind of some other side to comments on there, and I've done some blocking. We're not going to we're not going to fight with people that are healing and like,
no, my energy is too important. It's a currency and I'm just not spending it on that. Yeah. So
I just like feel this need to like protect like the other people in my comment section. Oh, they're like feeling so seen and like those posts. And I'm like, you deserve a safe space to land. So I'm like weeding out the people that aren't safe for you.
Yep. This post isn't for you. Delete.
You know, it's a whole ordeal.
Yeah.
And I know, how do you feel like showing up on the internet as an empath?
That has been that's been something I've navigated when Instagram went to this reel thing. Well, and then when TikTok started,
right?
Like, I was writing my book, and I remember my publisher said, we really want you to get on TikTok. And I was like, I am not.
It's a different audience.
This is early on, right?
Yeah.
Where people were just pointing at things like bubbles in the air. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, and then reels, like I'm uncomfortable putting myself on camera, but part of that is being a highly sensitive empath. Part of that is also my trauma. So I can see it both ways. So I know the more that I put myself out there, the more I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah.
Right. And that's when the other people come out of the dark, right? Yeah. You're like, ooh, there's a shadow people. But then I also know that, that it's also because I'm highly sensitive too.
Mm-hmm.
But so I kind of like started to dip my toe in the reels and stuff like that. But it's not something that
I hate it.
Super comfortable.
I make
with.
Them because we have to, I don't know, the algorithm says so, but I hate it.
But it is so obvious that since they changed the algorithm and they changed more to reels, that the people that are doing reels are doing better than the ones that aren't.
Yeah.
Like that's, and I had to let go of that. I was like, I don't even care because if I do it to get the view,
then you're abandoning yourself.
Then I'm abandoning myself and I'm not comfortable with that. So I was making like nature reels where I would show like fall foliage, like have words.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, whatever.
This works.
Whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you have to create a lot of boundaries around your internet usage, I think.
Yeah,
I think all people should be doing that anyway. you know, it's like being really mindful of who you're consuming content from and, you know, making sure that you're not getting caught up in comparison stuff on the internet, you know, and you're allowed to unfollow people, you know? I love that. Kristen, thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. So, so important. I know a lot of us, you know, especially my audience, who a lot of us are on these healing journeys, identify with some part of this, I'm sure. So such a great resource to be providing. Tell my listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at realizedempath.com. Also on Instagram, realizedempath. I have a Facebook, but I'm not on there. I just like share Instagram, shares Facebook because Facebook doesn't feel good to me. But and you can find my book, The Healed Empath, too, in bookstores. And
perfect. I'll be linking all of that in the description of this podcast. Make sure that you go give Kristen a follow. And Kristen, thank you again for helping us support you, the mother.
Thank you, Abby, so much. Thanks.